Broadcasting.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee to order, and we will start by taking the roll.
Senator Finley.
Finley present by video.
Senator Riley.
Present by video.
Senator Wagner.
Present by video.
Vice Chair Boquist.
Present by audio.
Madam Chair Borden.
Present by video. Okay, I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 852, and we have quite an extensive witness list on this bill. So just to give you an idea of how we're going to proceed, there'll be a 2-minute limit on each witness. And Corinne, our timekeeper, will ring a cowbell at 2 o'clock, at 2 minutes. So we're going to start off with the legislators, and then we'll have all the legislators signed up are for the bill. And then we're going to have a panel of proponents for the bill. That are not legislators. And then I will have 4 opponents of the bill, one after the other. And then after that second panel, as it were, I will alternate between proponents and opponents. So that's our state of play. We do have one person signed up as neutral, which I will squeeze in there as well. So we've opened a public hearing on Senate Bill 852. So let's have a description of the bill.
All right. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Kyle Easton, Legislative Revenue Office. And yes, Senate Bill 852 is a bill that would be making changes to the personal mortgage interest deduction. There are really 2 categories of changes being made, but one thing I'd emphasize is this is the changes to the mortgage interest deduction on the personal side. A business that's claiming a deduction for mortgage interest would be unaffected by these changes. So the changes proposed here in Senate Bill 852 are focused on the personal mortgage interest deduction. But the first change being made to the mortgage interest deduction is a limitation on the mortgage interest deduction based upon the adjusted gross income of the taxpayer. So there is a limitation that begins at $200,000 of adjusted gross income, and between $200,000 of adjusted gross income, or AGI, to $250,000, the mortgage interest deduction would be phased out for that taxpayer. And then for taxpayers with AGI above $250,000, the full amount of the mortgage interest deduction would be disallowed for that taxpayer. So they'd no longer be able to claim the interest deduction going forward. The second change has to do with the mortgage interest deduction on second homes. And regardless of a taxpayer's AGI, the mortgage interest deduction would not be allowed for a taxpayer who's claiming it for a second home, not their principal residence in that case. The changes to the mortgage interest deduction, they are effective beginning with tax year 2022 and going forward. And then beginning prior to December 31st, 2023, and then ongoing each year before December 31st, 2023, the Department of Revenue is required to estimate the revenue lift from the limitations placed in the mortgage interest deduction. And that increased revenue resulting from the mortgage interest deduction limitations are then transferred to a housing account, ultimately going to the Housing and Community Services Department to use those funds to promote affordable home ownership and prevent homelessness. But again, the changes to the mortgage interest deduction would begin with tax year 2022.
Thank you. And we will begin with the our honorable chair of our Senate Housing Committee, Senator Jama.
Good afternoon, everyone, and good afternoon, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, and members of the committee. My name is Casey Jama, Senator Casey Jama, District 24, Northeast Portland and North Clackamas County. I'm going to really, first of all, appreciate the chair scheduling this hearing, and I appreciate all of you willing to listen to this important discussion that we're going to be having today. I am not going to pretend that I'm going to expert on tax issues. But what I can tell you, though, as a former refugee who came to this country 22 years ago, I'm extremely disheartened what is happening in the streets of our community. The amount of homeless crisis that we are seeing is extremely difficult to see and to deal with it. We've seen people sleeping on the streets, whether it's a cold night in winter time or whether it's summer nights. I haven't seen anything like this. My guts really hurts when I see people who are sleeping on the streets in this community. Second piece that I want to really address quickly is that why I proposed this bill is that home ownership is an important way to build wealth in and moving out of generational poverty. But many Oregonians, that dream is out of reach. Overall, home ownership of Oregonians is down around 63%, and the Black community is less than 35%. Native American and Latinx community are not that far from behind. We need to address housing crisis that we're facing as a community. At the 1.1 billion per annum mortgage deduction interest rates cost our state. We have to address, and this issue, this bill 852 is trying to address that. Only though, I have to emphasize, only 5% of the Oregonians will be impacted by this bill. And Senate bill will direct funding to people who are truly needed in housing assistance, including addressing homelessness, as been said before, as well as home ownership. Let me say, conclude in this, my remarks. If you live in Deschutes County, it will not impact 97.6% of the population in this bill. If you live in Jefferson County, 98.6% of the population won't be impacted by this measure. I want to emphasize that and say only overall, in the state of Oregon, only 5% of the people will be impacted by this measure. With that said, I would hope that this is a moral issue and we will have we disagree or agree with this issue, we'll have an honest and open conversation about how to address this housing crisis. And as I said earlier, SB 852 is absolutely helping us to achieve that goal. With that said, I'm going to stop there, and I will be happy to answer any questions that folks have. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our whole panel of legislators and then open it up for questions. So we'll have Representative Fahey next with Representative Pham on deck.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Julie Fahey, representing House District 14, which is West Eugene, Junction City, and parts of rural Lane County. I'm speaking briefly today in favor of Senate Bill 852. I approach this issue the way that I'm approaching so many issues this session. We are in a housing crisis, and we have been for years. The lack of affordable housing in our state is contributing to homelessness, preventing families from building wealth, and even making it more difficult for Oregonians to mitigate the spread of COVID-19. There are actions we can take and investments we can make to address this problem. And as state leaders, it's our responsibility to do so. I specifically want to focus in on homeownership as an area where investment is needed. The mortgage interest deduction is one way that we help make first-time homeownership more affordable for Oregonians, and it's an incredibly important subsidy. Senate Bill 852 does not take away from that goal. Instead, it phases out the state subsidy for wealthy households, those in the top 5% of incomes, and for second homes. These modest changes are estimated to free up about $200 million, which would then be invested in specific housing priorities, including programs to promote homeownership like loans, IDA contributions, down payment assistance, land acquisition, home repairs, and weatherization, as well as housing for people experiencing homelessness and more. We have, we in the housing committees, both Senator Jama's committee and in my committee, we have had significant discussions this year on the dire need for those investments in our committees. And as it stands, it's unlikely we'll be able to fund all of these priorities to the extent that would solve the problems we face. The fundamental question of this bill is, with our limited government funds, would we rather subsidize home purchases for people who don't need our help? Or do we want to invest those dollars in helping more people achieve the American dream through homeownership? I strongly support the latter, and so I urge your support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Pham and former Representative Kenny Geyer will be on deck.
Thank you so much, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the committee. My name is Khan Pham, representative for House District 46, and I'm honored to testify in support of Senate Bill 852. Senate Bill 852 is a simple bill to address a long-standing issue and now crisis in our state, finding consistent and adequate sources of funding to address our growing housing needs. Oregon does not lack the will or the great ideas to solve our housing crisis, but what we lack are adequate funding mechanisms. Oregon currently invests $1 billion per biennium into our current mortgage interest deduction. We would like to target this tax deduction for families that need it most, and then use the $200 million in revenue generated to invest low and moderate income Oregonians, to invest in helping low and moderate income Oregonians access homeownership opportunities. So Senate Bill 852 would create the Oregon Housing Opportunity Fund to invest in loans and down payment assistance to make homeownership accessible for first-time buyers. In addition, we can make investments that will help address the housing instability for families across our state. Over the last decade, my district, like much of the state, has faced rising housing costs that have impacted our entire community, but particularly low-income and BIPOC families. Families have had to wait for years for affordable housing opportunities. And when we have one affordable housing wait list open up, we get hundreds of families applying for just 31 units. So housing providers have to tell families that the funding for rental assistance has run out almost as soon as the application processes open up. And for every person that we can see who has lost their home, there are many more that we can't see who are sleeping in their cars or doubling up with family members. And this is the real cost of investing, if not investing enough in housing infrastructure in Oregon. I want to clear up a few things and misconceptions about this bill. So first of all, Senate Bill 852 would phase out only the state-level mortgage interest deduction for high-income earners that make over $200,000 in adjusted gross income. So that would be only about 5% of the highest-earning Oregonians, and the vast majority of homeowners would not see any changes. That top 5% may also still receive the much larger federal mortgage interest deduction, as this bill would not impact the federal deduction for homeowners. In addition, this bill eliminates the deduction for second homes, but with an exception for second and third homes that are renting out the property. So landlords would not be impacted by this change. In this moment, we have the opportunity to take action and set the foundation for a healthier and more resilient state. We must invest in long-term solutions to our housing crisis by reforming the mortgage interest deduction and investing in first-time home buyers and housing insecure families. Senate Bill 852 is a targeted bill that will allow us to make a lasting impact and advance Oregon's housing priorities. Therefore, I urge members of this committee to support Senate Bill 852, and I welcome any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take questions now for our three legislators so that they can get back to their other committees. Are there questions for Senator Jama or for Representatives Fahey or Pham? Okay, I see no questions. Thank you. Our next witness, Senator Finley. How did I miss you? Senator Finley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question. In reading the revenue impact statement as filed on OLIS, it puts a number at 12% of affected taxpayers, not 5, and or about 72,000 taxpayers. How do you identify, how do you reconcile the discrepancy between the documents in OLIS and what you've said and earlier in your testimony?
Senator Fahey or Senator Jama, I think you... One of you might be able to address that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Finley, I will actually will defer to that. There's folks who are experts on this matter who are behind me testifying. So I would. But my understanding is that what I said is that it's actually only impacting only 5% of the Oregonians who are being impacted. And this is based on 2008 adjusted gross income. So that's kind of what we're based on. I would say 2018, not 2008. So that's kind of really what I'm hoping, but there's other people who are behind me or either one of the representatives will be able to answer to what I just said.
That's kind of what Representative Pham, did you have a response to that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, thank you, Senator Finley, for that question. That number, our estimates are based on the LRR. Are based on the household income and how many Oregon household income. So I actually would love to throw it to LRO Kyle Easton here, who is joining us, because they have the statistics about how many Oregon households make over $200,000 per year, and that based on that estimate, perhaps they could explain the different numbers.
Kyle, help us out here.
Yes, Senator Finley, the difference is really just in we're taking the numerator and the denominator, really. So in terms of who's affected, the overall number is, yes, less than that 5%. If you're counting what percentage of those taxpayers that are claiming the mortgage interest deduction, that's where you get up to the 12%. So a number of taxpayers don't claim mortgage interest deduction already, so of course they're not affected. So it's about 4%, less than 5% of taxpayers would be affected. Those claiming the mortgage interest deduction, it's closer to 12% of those potentially affected.
Yeah, just thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Easton. I just think we need to be straight with the facts. And if we're saying it's only going to affect X number of this mortgage rate deduction, we should talk about those folks. And I think we need to portray the actual numbers. And I think a percent of the entire taxpayers, or we could even use a percent of the entire population, it would even be lower. But I think we need to talk about the folks that impact. So thank you so much. I appreciate your answer.
Senator Wagner.
Thank you, Chair Burdick. I appreciate it. And this is probably a question for Kyle, because it is related to a question of around data and utilization of this tax instrument. I was reading in preparation for this testimony some of the documents around the legacy of racism as it relates to housing in the United States. Obviously, Oregon is no exception to that rule. I was pleased to see that last fall, the newly installed president of the National Association of Realtors, Charlie Oppler, actually issued a formal apology for the past policies that contributed to segregation and racial inequality, redlining. And my question is, the legacy, when you look at traditionally marginalized populations or access to home ownership, of that either 4 or 5% that are able to access this tax instrument, how much do we have demographics on what that population looks like? Do we know age? Do we know race? I would be really curious to know whether or not that's like data that is actually something we could get at.
Yeah, Senator Wagner, this has been one of the discussion themes, I suppose, in the last few, definitely this legislation and past sessions as well. For what we can pull from the tax returns, yes, we can in some cases pull information, certainly by the income that's reported on the tax returns. But the limitation there of using just the tax returns as that source of data, which is where the mortgage interest deduction is reported, is anything that's not on the tax return isn't showing up there. So of course, race would be one of those numbers we wouldn't have data on that's specifically sourced from the tax returns information. There can definitely be outside sources that can be relied upon that could help kind of get a sense of what the demographics are. But that information that we can pull from the tax returns, we can definitely try to add more information that could be helpful, things of age, income, and those sorts of things. Otherwise, we'd have to rely on perhaps census data or other sources of information that could be utilized to help answer those questions.
Okay, other questions? All right, thank you. And we will move on to our next witness, Alyssa Kinney-Geyer, and on deck will be Daniel Hauser.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I am Alyssa Kenny-Geyer. I am the former state rep for House District 46, and I was succeeded by Representative Khan Pham, which I am delighted by. I was also the former chair of the House Committee on Human Services and Housing for many years. I was succeeded in that role by Representative Chair Fahey of the Housing Committee, and I am delighted to be with them on this panel, along with Chair Fahey's counterpart, Chair Jama of the Senate Housing Committee. I think the reason that you see all of us so passionate about this particular bill is because as housing chairs, we have seen the incredible need for affordable housing at all levels, including home ownership. And yet we see that our state's largest housing subsidy at $1.1 billion a biennium goes to the mortgage interest deduction, which overwhelmingly goes to the people that don't need it the most. Certainly, a huge portion of it goes to people who do need it, and we are delighted to support that. But 60% of it goes to the top quintile. That's $660 million. We're not even looking at the top quintile of Oregon taxpayers. We are looking at the top 5% or so of taxpayers who benefit from this, which, as you've heard, translates into about 12% of those who receive the mortgage interest deduction. So I speak both from the vantage point of having chaired this committee for many years, trying to solve these housing needs, and then currently I'm a board member of Habitat for Humanity, where I'm continuing the efforts to increase affordable homeownership. I worked really hard on my testimony, and so I hope that you have a chance to review it, and I'm happy to answer questions for you sometime following the hearing. I'm happy to go into greater detail. But basically, my cover letter goes into the many efforts that we led over many different sessions to increase affordable home ownership with bipartisan sponsorship and unanimous votes out of my committee. And in almost all cases, they failed because of lack of funding. I give a whole history year by year of efforts that we've made. Then my cover letter goes into how the MID is structured, which, as you have heard, pairs back the deduction for wealthier tax filers and for people owning second homes, not when they're renting them out, but when they're using them for personal vacation purposes. I also want to let you know that we have worked really hard to make sure that this bill is as fair as possible. And when the realtors brought up a situation in 2019 where people might buy a new home because they're moving to perhaps from Portland to Klamath Falls and they haven't yet sold their home, they're trying to sell their home, we made an exception for that. We really tried to look at all of the different scenarios in which people owned a second home to make sure that they still were able to claim the mortgage interest deduction where it seemed fair.
Could you wrap up your testimony?
Sure, sir. Well, just taking up housing stock, perhaps in Central Oregon, Ashland, the coast, Hood River, some highly touristed areas, that really didn't make sense for us to be providing a tax incentive for that. So I do hope that you'll look at my testimony. It also includes several links. One is hyperlinks to left-leaning, right-leaning, libertarian-leaning organizations, reporters, articles that talk about how ineffective this is. It also provides some of the county statistics on who the filers are that would be affected, as Chair Jama talked about, and has a list of housing bills coming to $535 million. I am happy to answer questions later about either the bill or where the money would be redirected to. Thank you so much, Chair Burdick.
Thank you. We'll wait for questions till we finish this panel. We'll have Daniel Hauser next, and followed by Lori Wimmer.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the committee. My name is Daniel Hauser. I use he, him pronouns, and I'm a policy analyst for the Oregon Center for Public Policy. Today, I testify in support of Senate Bill 852. Senate Bill 852 would raise nearly $200 million by reducing this housing subsidy that disproportionately benefits Oregon's richest households. These resources would be invested in affordable homeownership and homeless services. Senate Bill 852 is a common sense way to address this housing crisis without having to raise any new revenue, but by investing current resources more effectively and fairly. The bill scales back the state mortgage interest deduction for all filing types starting at $200,000 and completely ends it at $250,000. This protects the deduction for 95% of taxpayers based on those income thresholds, only targeting the richest 5%. who don't need the state to subsidize their first or second homes. And to Senator Finley's previous question, I'll be really explicit. The Legislative Revenue Office estimated that there'd be 80,000 taxpayers impacted by this change, and the Department of Revenue estimates there are 2,128,750 taxpayers during the tax year where we have the most recent data, 2018. That results in 3.76% of taxpayers being impacted. The bill also targets the mortgage interest deduction by limiting it to a family's principal residence, the home a taxpayer lives in. At a time when so many Oregonians can't afford to rent or to buy a home, it's indefensible for the state to subsidize the purchase of second homes or vacation homes. The mortgage interest deduction puts it at a disadvantage low and moderate income Oregonians, Oregonians of color, and rural Oregonians. The benefits accrue to higher income taxpayers, with nearly 60% of the benefit going to the richest 1 in 5 Oregonians. And by definition, renters, whose incomes tend to be lower than those of homeowners, receive no benefit from this housing subsidy. And owners of rental properties would not be impacted either, as they can simply deduct the mortgage interest as a business expense, despite inaccurate claims in the record. Oregonians of color have faced generations of discriminatory policies that have excluded them from opportunities for homeownership and economic success. And I did catch that cowbell, so I'll wrap up. This leaves Oregonians of color with fewer benefits from the mortgage interest deduction because they're less likely to own a home and more likely to have lower incomes. And to Senator Wagner's question, there have been multiple national analyses of the racial distribution of the mortgage interest deduction. In fact, just this morning, a report by the National Low Income Housing Council noted Black and Latino households would receive billions more if this was distributed equitably to their distribution of population. I'll just conclude by noting that nearly 9 out of 10 mortgage interest deduction dollars flow to urban areas, not to rural areas of our state, and that research on homeownership rates shows that the mortgage interest deduction is a very ineffective tool to actually boost rates of homeownership. So with that, I would urge this committee and the legislature to support Senate Bill 852, and I'm happy to answer any questions or share any sources of anything I've provided.
Okay, next we will have Lori Wimmer, followed by Jenny Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. For your record, Lori Wimmer, on behalf of OEA's 41,000 members, it's my honor to submit testimony in support of Senate Bill 852, which, as you've heard, would modify mortgage interest deduction. Under 852, middle-class homeowners would not see a change to this benefit, and we believe that the nearly $200 million saved for housing programs is a worthy investment. The purpose of the mortgage interest deduction is to encourage middle-class homeownership, and when it was first created in 1913, it was part of federal legislation that excluded all interest from taxation, which was a clear break for rich Americans because lending for the working class was unheard of at that time. It wasn't until federally insured home mortgages came into being in the 1930s that home ownership via mortgages became available more broadly, and the tax break was seen as benefiting the middle class and working class at that point. Oregon benefited many other states from the mortgage interest deduction. A study by the Tax Foundation in 2011 reflects that the mortgage interest deduction taken in Oregon averaged $2,281, landing our state at number 11 of 50 states. Many of our teachers and other education employees must live outside the communities in which they work because home prices and rents are unaffordable in their school districts. Additionally, more than 22,000 of our students are currently houseless. Oregon's educators know that housing insecurity impacts their students' ability to learn and to achieve. Because many of these students change schools and therefore curricula scope and sequence often, there exists a discontinuity in their learning. And housing loss is traumatic, making concentration and confidence difficult for these kids. Part of the solution to closing the achievement gap is to successfully address the conditions related to poverty that impede learning. That's why OEA has been a vocal supporter of the various solutions to the housing crisis in this and prior legislative assemblies. We're aware that opponents of the bill may argue that it would slow down Oregon's housing market, but we disagree. And in my written testimony, I have cited real estate brokers who share that disagreement and have said that home buying will actually go up if the mortgage interest deduction reform is passed. We appreciate your hard work of the coalition of advocates who brought this concept forward, and thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Jenny Lee, followed by Sean Jillians.
All right. Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue. Thank you so much for the opportunity to testify today in support of this legislation and the importance of addressing the mortgage interest deduction as a racial justice issue. My name is Jenny Lee, and I am the Deputy Director at the Coalition of Communities of Color. We are a nonprofit organization dedicated to taking collective action for racial justice. So as members of the legislature, I know you have all done incredible work to create housing stability for Oregonians and address racial inequities. And we are grateful for that work and the increasing recognition we have seen over the last year. But the mortgage interest deduction as it currently exists is a longstanding, profound flaw in our tax policy. And when we continue to allow tax expenditures that disproportionately benefit higher income Oregonians or disproportionately white, we are making a choice that perpetuates inequity. The mortgage interest deduction, as I see it, is the textbook example of racial inequity in our tax code and in our housing policy. It simply does not work as a tool to help aspiring Black, Indigenous, Latinx, Pacific Islanders achieve housing stability. More of it does nothing to help any renter, Black, brown, or white, rural or urban, to achieve housing stability. And when something works for one group and not for another, that is not equity. Given the disproportionate rates of housing instability and homelessness, we're not just worsening the racial wealth gap when we preserve this tax break, but we're leaving far too many Oregonians of color to face the traumatic impacts of worrying how they can even keep a roof over their heads. These are common sense adjustments that would give us additional resources to help achieve housing justice for every Oregonian, to keep people housed, to help them achieve their dreams, and to give their children a safe, stable place to call home. Using our housing resources wisely is critical to this goal. So with every policy, I encourage you to consider with through a racial equity lens. And I hope today you will look at this legislation and see whether this helps remove us from the troubling status quo and create a more equitable housing policy and more equitable tax policy in our state. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We will now move to our opponents. Well, first of all, let's see if we have any questions for this last panel. I see no questions. So now we'll move to our next four witnesses against the measure. Sean Jillians will be followed by Barbary Smith. And Sean, I'm going to give you 2.5 minutes because some of the other people went over. So go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I apologize, my internet connection's a little slow, so I'm not turning on my camera to hopefully be able to move forward with you. For the record, Sean Jillians, representing the Oregon Association of Realtors and our 17,000+ members. It's always interesting to hear others cite which realtor they've talked to and how they came to a certain position. I will tell you that our board of directors approves our legislative policies. Our board of directors is made up of 135 members from across the state. And so I feel very confident in taking the position in opposition to this bill as the representative of the association. I have had the pleasure of representing the realtors for 14 years now, and know that the vast majority of our membership feels very strongly about the mortgage interest deduction and protecting it. I also would say, Madam Chair, that there are a significant number of concerns that we have with the bill, but we do not oppose the underlying intent to invest money in affordable housing programs, to address rental assistance, and the homeless crisis in Oregon. And in fact, that is the exact reason that in 2009, we actually introduced a bill. If you look back at the 2009 legislation, it was at the request of the Oregon Association of Realtors to implement a document recording fee, which is charged on every home purchase and on current homeowners who refinance. The document recording fee was incredibly controversial at the time that it was passed. It required a 3/5 vote, which, as you all know, was difficult to achieve. And I would say without the support of all stakeholders, that bill would not have passed. That document recording fee has now been increased twice in the last few years, and it now generates $75 million per biennium. and I want to repeat that, Madam Chair, $75 million per biennium goes to affordable rentals and homeless programs entirely funded by current and prospective homeowners. To say that Oregon homeowners do not contribute to these programs is simply false. And quite frankly, it's insulting that the amount of work that went into passing those particular bills is somehow discredited now. As for the cost of housing in Oregon, we absolutely agree. It's a crisis. And we're looking at numbers, as many of you know, that are well over $500,000. In order to afford that $500,000 house, you need to make at least $150,000 a year. That's without any other debt. Lastly, Madam Chair, because I know I've now used up my 2:30, I would encourage you all to look at the testimony in OLIS from Marjorie Taylor with the Department of Revenue. It talks about the difficulty in guessing what amount would actually be diverted from the general fund. This is a mechanism that you all have never taken on before and completely usurps the traditional ways and means process. With that, Madam Chair, happy to answer any questions, and thank you for allowing me to testify today.
Thank you. We will now take Barbary Smith. Followed by Helen Leek. Do we have Barbary Smith here? Okay. We will go to Helen Leek. Okay. How about Catherine Dunn? I saw her earlier. She had her camera on. Catherine, are you here? I wonder if we have a technical problem. I will just keep moving down the list. Kelly Jenkins, do we have Kelly Jenkins available? Okay, how about Daryl Fuller?
Madam Chair, Daryl Fuller, can I be heard?
You can be heard. Please proceed.
Thank you very much. For the record, Daryl Fuller on behalf of the Oregon RV Dealers Association. I know I've only got 2 minutes, so I'll do my best to be very quick. I have two or three points that I hope to make. The first is there's some question about whether the bill impacts 5% or 12%. And when folks were talking about the 5%, it had to do with their income. And I assume that had to be the number of people above $200,000 who would have their mortgages phased out. But the bill also completely phases out writing off your mortgage interest for second homes, and that is not means tested. So I wonder if some of that other 7% aren't low-income people, retirees on fixed incomes who have a second home and have a mortgage and are going to see a tax increase because they are going to lose the mortgage interest on their second home regardless of their income. So that might be part of the reason, and I haven't looked at any of the source documents. I just heard the conversation in the committee, but that might be worth looking at. I testified earlier this week on House Bill 2809 in the Senate Wildfire Committee. It is a bill that allows people to locate RVs on their home sites that were destroyed by the wildfires last year and to live in that home, that RV, while their primary residence is being rebuilt. This bill, regardless of their income, this bill would make those RVs more unaffordable because they could not write off the mortgage interest on the RVs that they're going to live in, perhaps for the next 2 or 3 years. And I think we all know that we are going to have another bad wildfire season. There are going to be more people losing their homes who might be able to afford an RV. But this bill is going to make it less affordable for those people that are retired or lower income. I'm going to be submitting for the record an email that I received, an unsolicited email, because of testimony that I provided in the House, and I do have some written testimony on the record. This woman's husband passed away a couple of years ago. They had a rental home that they are now using for family, And so she cannot deduct the interest under this bill because she's not renting the home because she's taking care of family in their second home. And she's worried that she's going to have to kick out her family in order to rent the rental home in order to maintain the mortgage deduction so she can continue to pay the mortgage on her home because she is in a fixed income. What I would ask, and I know I'm over and I apologize, is perhaps the committee would consider means testing second homes the same way you means test the original or the first home primary residence. If you were to means test people's second homes as well at that $200,000 to $250,000 range, then the bill would not be creating a tax increase for lower income people or middle income people who happen to already have a second mortgage. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. We will, yes, let's take questions. We've gotten a little out of sync here because of our missing witnesses. So let's see if there are any questions for Mr. Fuller or for Mr. Jillians. You seem to have been our panel. Okay, I see no questions. So next we'll take one more opponent, Lori Palermo. Palermo. Do you hear me, Lori?
Yes, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the committee. My name is Lori Palermo. I'm a homeowner in Springfield, and I've been an Oregon realtor for over 28 years. We know that homeownership builds strong communities, and one of my favorite aspects of my job is helping first-time homebuyers realize the American dream by purchasing their first homes. Most have worked diligently boosting and maintaining their credit scores and saving money for their down payment and closing costs. The mortgage interest deduction helps current homeowners and prospective homeowners in Oregon. People bank on it when they calculate what payment they can afford. Senate Bill 852 would, in fact, limit or eliminate the deduction on primary homes, making home ownership more expensive and, in some case, prohibitive at a time when housing costs are skyrocketing and many homeowners are struggling. It's my understanding that the diversion from the general fund outside of the traditional ways and means process has never occurred. I'm concerned that there's no guarantee that the money would go toward affordable housing. Oregon desperately needs more affordable housing, yet we can't achieve that by making housing less affordable for anyone. As a longtime Oregonian watching my state endure a global pandemic, I want my elected officials to focus on relief and recovery. Increasing the cost of home ownership is not the way to get there. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Questions? I see no questions. So we will move to Sean Edging.
All right. Can you folks hear me?
We can.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Chair Burdick and Vice Chair Boquist, as well as members of the committee. I appreciate the invitation to testify today. My name is Sean Edging. I'm a Portland resident. I work very much in housing affordability and housing policy, but I'm actually here not representing any organization today. I really care about homeownership and affordable housing, and I wanted to provide a suggestion on this bill that I actually think would be very beneficial for a lot of folks. So I know I'm kind of apparently the one person who checked the neutral box on this testimony, but that's actually not 100% true. I agree with the policy objective of this bill. Our biggest housing subsidies in Oregon are very inverted and benefit the wealthiest folks in Oregon. But, you know, I think one thing that I personally agree with or personally think is important that is in order to address the housing crisis that we face in Oregon, we need bold action and we need to build strong coalitions as opposed to kind of entrenching opposition from groups who kind of share a common goal, which is to see more Oregonians housed. And that's kind of my primary concern with Senate Bill 852. Specifically, what I think it does is I think it creates needless political opposition between interest groups who share the same goal, which is to extend homeownership to more Oregonians and to see that more Oregonians are housed. And also, secondly, I don't think it's as effective as it could be. So I have a suggestion that I actually think would be beneficial to both parties, both real estate interests and housing advocates. And I wanted to propose it to you folks. And that is specifically to take the mortgage interest deduction, which is only available for a very small subset of Oregonians, the wealthiest Oregonians who itemize their tax deductions, and make it a tax credit that primarily goes to lower and middle income Oregonians and phases out the more income people earn. And the reason I think this is beneficial for both parties is because for housing advocates, this is significantly more money. It's $1 billion every biennium that would be going directly to low income and middle income Oregonians. And for real estate interests, this would create new home buyers, people who are on the margins right now. By the way, I'm one of those people, and be beneficial for their industry. So with that, thank you guys so much. And
yeah. Thank you. Questions? I see no questions. So we will move on to Donna Cohen.
I am here.
I can hear you vaguely.
Yes. Okay, how about this?
That's better.
I'm good? All right, thank you. Madam Chair and committee members, my name is Donna Cohen. I am a person of nuance. I like to examine issues thoroughly and sort out the complexities, but this is simple. Do we take back some money we've been giving to people who are financially comfortable and well-housed and use it to help those who are unhoused or housing burdened or able to buy a first home with just a little bit of help? If your answer isn't a strong yes, then maybe you should examine why you're here, because I expect elected officials to support those who need help, not those who don't. I bought my first home 17 years ago with the help of a first-time homeowner program. Let me be clear, it was because of the help of a first-time homeowner program that I was able to buy a home. It did not have to do with the mortgage interest deduction. That was not factored in. The nonprofit developer created 115 affordable homes here, and I have a wonderful little diverse community of people who otherwise would not have been able to have a home. Having a home radically changed my life. I have financial stability. I am physically healthier because I'm doing things around the house and yard that required me to get into better physical condition. I've contributed a great deal to my community and indeed would not be able to be here advocating for this bill were I struggling to earn the money I would need now if I had a rental. The investment the government made to allow me to buy a home has been returned manyfold in time and skills I have provided to my community. Please do the right thing. Move this bill ahead with a do pass recommendation for the many others who need help with housing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions? I see no questions, so thank you very much. Next witness will be Alexandra Page. Do we have Alexandra here? Okay, how about Jeremy Starr? Okay, I don't see Jeremy Starr. How about Emily Sewells? Emily Sewells. Okay, I'm wondering if we have a technical problem going here. Hope not. How about if somebody signed up as Ms. Pouquet without a first name? Okay. Selena McNeil. Okay. Sean Cleave.
Madam Chair, Chairwoman Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Sean Cleave on behalf of the Taxpayers Association in opposition to Senate Bill 852. I must say, Madam Chair, it's always a pleasure to see you. I like the red, looks great. I don't want to get into details.
John, before you proceed, I'm going to give you 3 minutes. We've lost a lot of the opponents, and I want to be fair about this. So I'm going to give you 3 minutes.
Madam Chair, that's very nice of you. I hope not to take up that much time. Obviously, the bill has some structural provisions in it that I would hope that this committee takes in earnest and works to resolve if the bill is to move forward. I also want to point out to the committee, I believe Senate Bill 852 is specifically designed to raise revenue. It lists out the budgeting programs that the extra revenue would go towards, whatever that revenue may be. Obviously, Mr. Julians had pointed out the note from the Department of Revenue regarding the structure. And finally, Madam Chair, this is a bill that severely frustrates me. And I think it really comes down to class warfare. I know that's a very loaded term, but in concept, our tax policies are set on the premise that those who make more should pay more. And for the most part, our federal tax system and our state's tax system is set up that way. And I would agree with that. A progressive tax system is more fair. But what this bill does is it takes the additional step to say, these people with that type of house should pay more. If we're interested in funding more, using more of the general fund towards housing, please, by all means, do it. It is one of the major ways the assembly can affect change for your average Oregon family. But just taxing people because they happen to be in this situation is not fair. This is a general fund, a income tax funded type of program, not just something that should be on the backs of some homeowners, Madam Chair. And with that, I will wrap up my testimony and be happy to take any questions if you might have.
Thank you. Questions for Mr. Klebe? I see no questions, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next witness will be Brian Hoop. Mr. Hoop, are you here?
Yes.
Good. Welcome.
Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the committee. My name is Brian Hoop, Executive Director of Housing Oregon, a statewide membership-based association of affordable housing nonprofits committed to serving and supporting low-income Oregonians across the housing needs spectrum, from homeless to homeowner. Housing Oregon urges your support for Senate Bill 852. This is a common sense and effective response to Oregon's statewide housing crisis. We applaud the legislature for supporting some significant new investments in affordable housing and homelessness programs in the past few years. We also need to champion new sources of revenue to sustainably fund these programs over the long haul. A 2018 Eco Northwest report identified Oregon faces a housing production deficit of 140,000 units, including over 60,000 in the Portland metro region alone. What Senate Bill 852 offers is a permanent ongoing revenue source that would make a meaningful contribution towards encouraging more families the opportunity to realize their dreams of being first-time homeowners, to secure down payments, and encourage the production of more housing. Eliminating the mortgage interest deduction and redirecting those resources to households in greater need would also serve the cause of racial and housing justice. Just today, as you already heard, the National Low-Income Housing Coalition released a new report explaining why 90% of benefits of the deduction at the national level go to taxpayers with annual incomes greater than $100,000. And examining the racial and ethnic disparities and who benefits. Because white households are more likely than Black and Latino households to be homeowners with mortgages, they're more likely to take the deduction. Lack of access to homeownership is a critical issue for Oregon's communities of color. According to the Oregon Housing and Community Services statewide housing plan, African Americans experience a homeownership rate of 32% compared to a rate of 61% for all Oregonians. For Hispanics, the rate of homeownership is 39%. Senate Bill 852 would direct a significant portion of the revenue to address this inequity through funding programs expanding access to homeownership. And lastly, because this program would also fund homeless services programs. Communities of color are also disproportionately affected by Oregon's affordable housing crisis. African Americans make up 6% of our homeless population, while only being 1.8% of the total population of Oregon. Native Americans are 4.2% of the homeless population and only 1.2% of the total population. This Senate Bill 852 would significantly increase resources available to address this inequity. So I urge you to support Senate Bill 852. Thank you for your time and commitment to public service.
And thank you. And are there any questions? Okay, I see no questions. So let's see. Shannon Vilhauer.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the committee. My name is Shannon Vilhauer, and I'm the Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity of Oregon. We walk alongside the 24 local Habitat for Humanity affiliates building and repairing homes throughout our state. For 30% of households in the United States, their home is their only source of wealth. Prosperity Now conducted a study in 2016 on families who earn the median income in their communities. For renters at this income level, household net worth was $5,200. Homeowners at the same income level had $200,000 in household wealth. We know that home ownership is an incredible wealth building opportunity for households of modest means. And yet, through policies like redlining and disparate access to credit, people of color have not had fair access to home ownership in the US. Over decades, this disparate access has resulted in the well-documented racial wealth gap. The mortgage interest deduction as currently written reinforces these decades of harm. Few people realize how disproportionately the mortgage interest deduction benefits the most affluent members of our society. As Prosperity Now also documented, our nation's highest income earners receive an average annual mortgage interest deduction benefit of $12,000. In contrast, homeowners who earn less than $50,000 per year receive an average annual mortgage interest deduction benefit of $18. These discrepancies are stark. And part of what's going on there, an earlier question, is that you have to itemize your taxes to benefit from the mortgage interest deduction. And a lot of folks who own their home but have a modest income take the standard deduction. So that's part of why there's some different numbers there. By adjusting Oregon State mortgage interest deduction in the way that you've heard, so that more than 95% of homeowners in our state receive the same benefit, we can free up $200 million per biennium to provide critical investments in stable and affordable homes. And Oregon homeowners will still have access to the federal mortgage interest deduction. The greatest housing subsidy from the state should not keep going to the people who need it the least. We ask you to invest instead at both ends of the housing continuum. Make it a true priority to provide safe and adequate shelter for Oregon's kids. Empower hardworking Oregonians to plant roots in the community, build wealth, and contribute to the cities and towns we can all be very proud to call home. Please support Senate Bill 852. Thank you so much for your dedicated service and sheer hard work.
Thank you very much. Are there questions? Okay, next we will have Chris Bonner.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue. I am Chris Bonner. I'm a realtor in the Portland metropolitan area. When I first started selling real estate 31 years ago, I learned about the mortgage interest deduction. I was told it was a reward for being a homeowner. I was told that it encourages people to own homes. And after working with hundreds of buyers, I now know that there are many compelling reasons that people buy homes. And giving high income earners and second homeowners a subsidy on the amount of interest they pay is not a good or fair way to spend our state's money. I meet with new folks every week who are looking to buy their first home, and no one asks me how much they can count on for the mortgage interest deduction. I do get folks asking me all the time, can I even afford to buy a home in this market? Are there any first-time buyer programs that can help me raise a down payment? What can be done to help my family member who's fallen into homelessness due to medical bankruptcy, rent increase, or disability? I imagine you get those questions a lot as legislators. Those are the questions we desperately need answers to, and this bill would do that. I believe that reforming this out-of-touch and inequitable tax structure will not only right a historical wrong, but it will address our housing crisis and benefit our state for years to come. The fact that the Oregon Association of Realtors can only point to the document recording fee enacted in 2009 is telling. A lot has changed in 12 years, and even with the adjustments that have been made, it's obvious this amount is not working. The only information I see coming out of the association to me as a member about Senate Bill 852 does not mention income limits at all. It just mentioned it would affect 90,000 Oregonians. It says nothing about the homeownership opportunities it would present. Almost every realtor I speak to about the actual bill and its provisions is supportive. I myself will be personally affected by this bill and yet have no hesitation in supporting it. I really hope we're at a point when fair and effective tax policy takes precedent over special interests. It's time to do the math and make the change. Thank you for your time, and please consider supporting this bill.
Thank you very much. Are there questions? See no questions. So next we'll have Marty Carty. Mr. Carty, are you here?
Yes. Thank you. Yes, good. Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue. I'm Marty Carty, here today on behalf of the Oregon Primary Care Association and Oregon's 34 federally qualified health centers in support of House Bill 852. Oregon's community health centers deliver integrated medical, dental, and behavioral health services to 466,000, or 1 in 10 Oregonians. Many of whom otherwise would not be able to see a medical provider. Community health centers are providers within the CCO networks, providing care to some of Oregon's most vulnerable populations, including 1 in 4 Oregon Health Plan members. Many of Oregon's community health centers serve patients without stable housing. They use screening tools to better understand and act on their patients' social needs and to shape social determinants of health strategies for their communities. However, understanding the need is only part of the equation. Providers and care teams see firsthand how a lack of safe and affordable housing leads to poor health outcomes and increased costs to the healthcare system. Individuals who experience homelessness or housing insecurity are less likely to have access to healthy diets, be able to take medication as prescribed, and be able to maintain education and/or employment, all leading to downstream health complications. Health centers rely on community partnerships and programs, like many of the organizations you've heard from already today, to meet the needs of their patients. Having access to housing supports for patients is a critical component to meeting the needs of their patients, healthcare needs and goals. We know that social needs have a cumulative impact for the people health centers serve, and that direct action to resolve housing insecurity must be central to Oregon's health equity strategy. We believe Senate Bill 852 is an opportunity to provide additional significant investment in critical housing supports. Health center patients need housing access and stability to successfully utilize healthcare and other services to maintain recovery, health, and wellness. Thank you very much, and we encourage you to support House Bill 852.
Thank you. Are there questions? I see no questions. So next we'll move to Eileen Kiley. Welcome, Eileen. Are you here?
I believe I'm here. Thank you. Thank you, Chair Burdick, and Vice Chair Boquist and the members of the committee. Thank you for this opportunity to speak with you on behalf of Tax Fairness Oregon, and also my fellow residents of Deschutes County who are facing a severe housing crisis. The shortage of supply has driven the median home in Bend last month up to almost $600,000, an astounding amount. You have my written testimony, so I really only want to address two issues. First, I live in Sun River, and right now I am surrounded by empty homes. When they are rented to a customer, then the owner gets to deduct that as a business expense. But all of the time that these houses sit empty are subsidized by Oregon taxpayers through the mortgage interest deduction.
Before I retired here, and I will let you know that the reason I was able to retire here is I was able to buy a home at 26 to build the kind of financial security we want for all Oregonians. Before I did that, I was a corporate controller for Daimler Trucks North America. And our first point of control was revenue, those discounts, reductions, concessions, essentially paying people to do what you want them to do, which is buy your product. You never, ever pay someone to do what they will do anyway. Anyone who can afford to buy a home is not going to do it because of the small amount of a mortgage interest deduction compared to the vast long-term financial advantages of home ownership. And no one will buy a second home because of that either. We're wasting taxpayer dollars by incentivizing people to do things that the market has already incentivized them to do. So I am here to support 852 just as it's written. I'm happy to answer your questions. And I can also answer some of Mr. Fuller's questions about RVs as an RV owner. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Are there questions? I see no questions. So we'll move to our next witness, who is Britt Conroy. Britt Conroy, are you here? Okay, so now we'll go to Tim Pitts.
Hi, Chair. Oh. Thanks for, I can jump in.
Okay, there we go, Britt Conroy. Welcome.
Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the committee. My name is Britt Conroy, and I am Public Policy Director at Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon. EMO supports SB 852 because, true to our calling to care for one another, the bill prioritizes housing for those experiencing homelessness, survivors of domestic violence, and marginalized Oregonians over mortgage interest tax break for Oregon's most fortunate, highest income households who are themselves stably housed. According to one source, no other state has a K-12 homelessness rate as high as Oregon. The sheer numbers of this crisis are staggering. Over 22,000 Oregon K-12 students experienced homelessness during the 2018-2019 school year, impacting families in every corner of the state. In Malheur County, 276 K-12 students experienced homelessness that school year. In Polk County, 370. Yamhill County, 647. Clackamas, 1,055. Washington County, nearly 3,000. And in Multnomah County, 3,300 K-12 students experienced homelessness that school year. SB 852 would not just help our state support houseless students, it would also enable Oregon to better support women and families in desperate need of housing. We see the link between domestic violence, homelessness, and, as we were talking about today, skewed state housing funding priorities play out right here in Oregon. According to Governor Brown's housing agenda, 8,300 requests for emergency shelter in 2017 could not be met because DVSA shelters were full, a chilling 8,300 times. That means that on average, we turn our back on 23 survivors and their children day in and day out in this state. Finally, SB 852 would make investments to address Oregon's legacy of racial discrimination and racial disparities in homeownership, investments that are long overdue. SB 852 would enable Oregon to stand with youth, with families, and with BIPOC community members. We urge your support for this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? See no questions. We will move to, let's see what we got here. Brad Twiss. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Tim Pitts and then Brad Twiss.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the committee. I'm Tim Pitts, and I'm a 20-year Oregonian and the owner of Think Real Estate, which is a real estate brokerage in Portland. Our brokerage has helped thousands of Oregonians to buy or sell a home, so we understand all too well the challenges that face anyone trying to buy a home for the first time. Please support SB 852. This bill is a sensible and necessary tax reform that will dramatically help so many people and will increase homeownership. The bill is so simple. People who own vacation homes that they don't rent out, the state of Oregon does not need to subsidize them. The same goes for people earning high incomes and owning hugely expensive homes. Why in the world do we continue to subsidize this at such high levels? Let's pull back the huge tax breaks just a little and spend the money on programs that will actually help people to achieve home ownership. People trying to buy their first home face tall odds. They're competing with other people trying to buy their first home, plus countless cash investors looking for another rental. It's these people trying to buy their first home, these hardworking Oregonians saving little by little until they have the minimum down payment. These are the people who should be getting a hand from the state of Oregon. I think we all know that the mortgage interest deduction in its current form would never pass if we were voting to put it in place for the first time right now. Would any of you say yes? Let's start giving a tax break on vacation homes. Let's pull back the millions of dollars being spent on homeownership programs. Of course not. The only reason why this deduction is in place is because it has been for a very long time, and we have not had enough courageous politicians in Salem to say no more. So please support SB 852. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Okay, I see no questions. Brad Twist is next.
Hi there. Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and committee members. My name is Brad Twiss, and I'm a real estate broker and the owner of a real estate brokerage here in Portland as well as Tim. And I'm also here in support of SB 852. I think that we might have more real estate professionals involved in policy around this and here to testify today if we weren't working day and night and through weekends and holidays and through Mother's Day and even our own birthdays, desperately trying to help first-time homebuyers get into their first homes. And sadly, you'll likely hear from realtors opposed to this bill through written testimony, since we've all been getting a constant stream of messaging from our trade group that is, as Chris Bonner mentioned, light on facts. So I hope we can quickly go over some actual numbers and maybe highlight some of the districts that the members of this committee represent. The Portland metro area, which includes Hillsborough and Lake Oswego, saw a nearly 17% increase in home prices in April this year compared to the previous year. That's $78,000 in 1 year. And it might be easy to brush that off as potentially a big city problem or a Portland problem, but Polk and Marion County saw a 19% increase in that same period of time. That's almost $70,000. And so a first-time home buyer there, just putting 5% down, now needs $3,000 more today than they did a year ago. Baker County has seen a 35% increase. And that means that even a veteran who is able to use their VA benefits for financing, that monthly payment would be $178 more a month, even if they were able to take advantage of that benefit. And finally, Bend, home prices, $120,000 in 1 year, $333 a month on a typical 30-year mortgage for a working family. So whether we're talking about 5% or 12% of Oregonians, I think it's important to remember that we're talking about taxpayers, ultimately, who make over $200,000 a year. And I'm privileged enough to be among that group of Oregonians that would be impacted by this, and I don't need the state's help anymore. I think it's unbelievable that somebody who makes this amount of money would think that they deserve a tax subsidy, our largest state tax subsidy, more than working Oregonians, like hardworking families in Oregon. And while I have a lot of first-time homebuyers, I also have a lot of homebuyers who are higher-income earners, and they would be impacted by this as well. And, you know, the mortgage interest deduction is just, like, not part of the calculus in home buying for them. It's just really an ineffective tool, and it needs to be adjusted. So I know it might not feel like there's a lot of attention on this right now, but I think your vote on this is really putting your priorities on record. And if you're conflicted about it, I think it would just help to say out loud, do I think that households that make over $250,000 a year or own second homes deserve the state's largest housing subsidy? And I think it's pretty clear when you say it out loud. So thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions from the committee? Okay, I see no questions. So our last witness is Diane Lynn.
Hello.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and Vice Chair Boquist, members of the committee. I'm very happy to wrap up this very important set of testimony. I'm Diane Lynn. I'm Executive Director of Proud Ground, and I serve on the Board of Directors of Housing Oregon and involved in the Housing Alliance. And I am also a former elected official and really appreciate all of your service on this committee and in this process. I would like to thank the and really honor the leadership of Representative Khan Fahn and Alyssa Kenny Guy and the growing coalition and so many realtors that have joined this conversation today. Proud Ground is also a licensed brokerage. We provide homeownership opportunities that are permanently affordable to working families using the community land trust model. We work in partnership with Habitat for Humanity and culturally specific agencies all across the state. We serve clients, mostly people of color, 75% in our case, who have been locked out historically of this very important, American dream. And they continue to be denied access, a chance to buy a home, and in part is because of the state's misallocation of resources. Please believe us when we tell you that the barriers for people of color to purchase homes continues to persist. It's not a thing of the past, it continues, and it's getting worse. We agree that working families up to a certain reasonable threshold should receive a deduction, but the higher earners and investors, it simply doesn't make sense. Because we're a brokerage, we watch the market very closely. We all know the prices are on the rise and inventory is at a historical low. That really puts a lot of pressure on the system. The world has changed considering the wildfires, obviously coronavirus. The time has come to shift resources to where they're needed most. You've heard the statistics, you know the rationale. Please consider the growing desperation among people who are stuck in expensive subsidized rental opportunities, who are paying way more than they should every month for their rent or their for substandard facilities to live in. Very serious rent burden issue out there, as we all know. It's getting worse, and we need to do something about it. This is a critically important public policy move, and we know it's not easy, but it's imperative for Oregon now. Thank you so much for your consideration. Again, happy to take questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee? Okay, that wraps up our witness list. This has been a good discussion, and appreciate everyone who signed up to testify, and especially thanks Senator Jama for bringing this bill to us today. So Chris, if you're there, oh, excuse me, Senator Finley has his hand up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I have a few questions, but I would like to be able to ask Legislative Council I guess if we have an opportunity at a future meeting, we can have a continued public hearing about this, because I have some questions about the tax rates and the fact that this is a tax raising measure or not a tax raising measure that LC, I would like an answer from LC, because this seems parallel to another bill that we've had earlier, and I just would like to get an opinion on that, so if at all possible.
I appreciate that, and I know where you're going on that. The question is whether it would require a three-fifths vote to adopt
the bill. Absolutely, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. We will get an answer to that question, and I appreciate everyone's attention. And if there's no further business, we are adjourned.